Welcome to Torah Dimecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we will be studying Yirmiyahu, Chapter 32. In the last parak, we learned about how the people will return to a life of abundance, physically, emotionally, and spiritually in the time of the Geula, the changes Hashem will make in the creation to make that possible. This parak is the third of the four positive nevuos in Sefer Yirmiyahu. This parak takes place in the 10th year of Tzidkiyahu during the years of siege on Yerushalayim. Yirmiyahu is imprisoned in the Chatzar Hamatara, court of the guard. Yirmiyahu was imprisoned by Tzidkiyahu as Tzidkiyahu objected to the elements of Yirmiyahu's nevuah. Yirmiyahu said that 1, Nebuchadnezzar was going to capture Yehuda in Yerushalayim. 2, Tzidkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, would not escape. 3, he would be delivered to Nebuchadnezzar. 4, his eyes would see Nebuchadnezzar's eyes, and finally, Tzidkiyahu would end up in Babel until he dies. The goal of this nevuah was to discourage Tzidkiyahu from fighting Nebuchadnezzar. Tzidkiyahu was suspicious of the nevuah, as Yechezkel had sent a message that Tzidkiyahu would never see Babel, and Yirmiyahu said he would come to Babel. This seemed like a contradiction to Tzidkiyahu, so he was comfortable imprisoning Yirmiyahu. Hashem sends Yirmiyahu a nevuah while he is still in jail. Hashem tells him that his cousin, Hanamel, will come and request that Yirmiyahu buy his field in Anasos, as he needs financial help. Yirmiyahu has the first right to the field as a relative. In Israel, the closest relative had the right to try to buy a property so that the land would stay in the family. Sure enough, Hanamel came and asked Yirmiyahu to buy the field, and so Yirmiyahu understood that Hashem wanted him to buy the field. Yirmiyahu bought the field of his cousin in Anasos, and he did it for a generous sum of 17 shekels of silver. He did this legally with great ceremony with a deed and witnesses. The deed and the contract with all the terms and conditions were sealed, as was the legal process at that time, and then there was a document that remained open that showed the transfer of property for the public to see. Yirmiyahu took these documents and he gave them to his student Baruch ben Neriah in front of everyone. In front of Hanamel and the witnesses who validated the sale, in front of all the Jews sitting around the prison courtyard who are witnessing this strange event. He gives the documents specifically to Baruch ben Neriah, as Baruch will survive the Gullus and be able to give this deed to Yirmiyahu's heirs. Yirmiyahu commands Baruch to take the sealed deeds and put them in an earthenware vessel so that they would last for a long time. They needed to be available when the people came back from Gullus and they would want to buy homes and settle the property. Putting documents in earthenware pots was a standard way to preserve documents in ancient times so they would not rot. This nevuah was meant as a nechama, a consolation, to the people that they should not lose all hope when they were exiled. Yirmiyahu was imprisoned in jail for his insistence that the destruction was coming, and yet he bought a property for his family for some time in the future. The absurdity of this transaction, says Rav Breuer, would make a deep impression on all assembled. Hashem promises in verse 15, Od yikanu vatim v'sados u'chramim be'aretz hazos. You will again buy homes and fields and vineyards in this land. Yahu finishes the sale and then turns to Hashem in prayer to clarify why this is all happening. What is the goal of this sale if the people will be going into Galus? He says, verse 17, Aha, O Hashem, Yirmiyahu cries with pain and worry as he is so confused as to what is going on. He defines his understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how he runs the world. Hine, ata asisa es ha-shamayim ve-aretz. Behold, you have made the heaven and earth. Hashem, you are the creator of the world who made the world from something from nothing. And, b'chochacha ha-gadol uv'zracha ha-netuya, with your great power and with your outstretched arms, you keep the creation going by being involved on a daily basis. Lo yipalei mimcha kol davar. There is nothing too hard from you. Hashem does miracles and can change the course of creation. Since Hashem created the world, he controls the world. Hashem also has a clear system of justice, which Yirmiyahu describes. Since Hashem created the world where people have free will, Hashem also made reward and punishment. When a person does something positive, Hashem osa chesed la'alafim. Hashem does kindness for 2,000 generations after that person because of his good deeds. But if a person sins and the children continue in that path, Hashem punishes the children for their father's deeds. Yirmiyahu then goes on to describe Hashem's greatness. He calls Hashem Hakel Hagadol Hagibor, the great, the mighty God. Yirmiyahu leaves out the name Nora, awesome, that Moshe used to describe Hashem. Yirmiyahu is acknowledging that Hashem has the strength to punish the Jewish people. Yirmiyahu then continues with the pasuk that is part of Tzedek HaDin. When someone loses a family member, they say a long recitation which includes this pasuk. It acknowledges that Hashem knows what is in a person's inner heart. Verse 19, Dol ha'etza v'rav ha'alilya, great in counsel and mighty in work, asher einecha pekuchos al kol darchei b'nei adam, whose eyes are open to all the ways of mankind, laseis le'ish kidrachav u'chifri ma'alalav, to give everyone in accordance with his ways and in accordance with the fruit of his deeds. Hashem treats all those with free will based on their individual actions. Hashem has a grand understanding to take all the details and consequences of all the behaviors and choices in mind. Hashem not only has a system for reward and punishment, Yirmiyahu knows that Hashem can intervene in nature as he did in Mitzrayim when, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, he saved them and paid back the Egyptians. Hashem took the Jews out of Mitzrayim with miracles and wonders and then brought the people into the land that had been promised to the Avos, a land flowing with milk and honey. When the people came to the land, they, with their free will, chose poorly. They did not listen to Hashem or follow the Torah laws. Given the system that had been set up, where Hashem is all-powerful and all-knowing, and there is a world of reward and punishment, Hashem changed life for the Jewish people. Right now, Yirmiyahu can see divine reward and punishment happening in real time. There are ramparts surrounding the besieged city, and the city will be given to the Kastim. There will be hacharev, hara'av, hadaver, sword, famine, and disease. Verse 24, asher dibarta haya v'hin charoeh. What you have spoken is coming to pass, and behold, you see it. And right when it is clear that Hashem has created the world and runs it, and that there is free will and consequences, Hashem tells him, verse 25, Knei lecha hasadeh bekesef ha'ed edim, buy for yourself the field with money and call witnesses. Va'ir nitna biat hakasdim, isn't the city being given to the hands of the Chaldeans? This contradiction bothers Yirmiyahu, so he turns to Hashem for understanding. Hashem responds in verse 27, Hinei ani Hashem, Elokei kol basar. Behold, I am Hashem, the God of all the flesh. Hamimeni yipalei kol davar. Is there anything too hard for me? The Mitzudas David explains that Hashem says that he is all-powerful, so he can both send the nation into Galus and bring them back to rebuild homes. Hashem outlines what will happen and exactly why. Verse 28, the Galus is coming, and the city will fall into the hands of the Kastim. They will destroy the city and burn those houses where the Baal was served on the roof as a fitting punishment for purposely defying Hashem. This is the punishment for the evil deeds of Yehuda and Yisrael. Hashem is punishing the city with what is shown as the anger of Hashem, as there is no hope for this people. They had sinned, Lemin hayom asher banu osa v'ad hayom hazeh, from the day that they built it until this day. Hashem will pay back both Yehuda and Yisrael from the kings and the Kohanim to the regular people. They did not sin because they lacked self-control, but because they wanted to rebel against Hashem. They deserve the punishments, as they had turned their back on the Nevi'im, who Hashem had sent early and often, and chose not to learn from these Nevi'im. Even worse, they put idols into the home of Hashem and made it impure. They built the altars to the Baal and offered their children to the Molech. There will be a consequence. Hashem is giving the city into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and the people will suffer war, famine, and disease. As Yirmiyahu had said, Hashem created the world and runs it, and there is reward and punishment. The people sinned purposefully and often, rejecting Hashem. However, those facts do not contradict the good that Hashem will do for the people in the future. This destruction was only so that the people can be rebuilt. After 70 years of exile and punishment, there can be hope again. Once all the necessary atonements and punishments are completed, Hashem will act with great mercy, gather all the people so that they can live securely in their land. Verse 38, V'hayu li la'am v'ani, and they shall be for me my people, and I will be their God. Unlike before, the people will believe in Hashem, keep his mitzvos, and then Hashem will once again watch over the people and Yerushalayim with special care. Hashem will give them, verse 39, Lev echad v'derech echad li'ra osi, one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever. The people will no longer be going back and forth between idols and service of Hashem. This process is not for Hashem's benefit. Hashem is doing this l'tov lahem v'levnehem achareihem, for the good of them and their children after them. Verse 40. Hashem will make a covenant without preconditions that will be eternal. No one will ever turn away from Hashem again. This yirasi etain bilvavam, levilti sor me'alai, and I will put my fear into their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. The goal is so that Hashem will, verse 41, sasti alehem le'tivosam, I will rejoice over them to do them good. Hashem will bring us back to Israel and will act in a way that shows his great love that we will be able to feel. Verse 42, just like Hashem is punishing the people, kein anochi mevi alehem es kol hatova asher anochi dover, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. The bad is only a means to prepare them to be able to accept the good. So if Hashem brings something that is negative, it is only there so something positive can follow. Hashem explains why he is asking Yirmiyahu to buy the field in the very land where he delivered a nevuah about how the land will be desolate of all the people and the animals. This sale demonstrates that the desolation of the land is not the end goal. The hope is that, verse 44, Sados b'kesef yiknu v'chasov b'sefer v'chasom v'ha'ed edim. Men will buy fields for money and sign the deeds and seal them and call witnesses all over the land of Yehuda, as the people will return from Galus. In this parak, Yirmiyahu was told to buy a field from a relative. He asks Hashem for guidance, as he knows that Yerushalayim was to be destroyed, which is an understandable part of the system of divine justice. Hashem tells Yirmiyahu that the goal is not to destroy the city. The goal is for the people to be able to rebuild. I'd like to focus on one phrase in our parak. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah started the Shemoneh Esrei with a similar phrase from Moshe Rabbeinu, who described Hashem as Gadol Gibor Vinora. Gadol means Hashem is the source of all good. Gibor is that Hashem is in charge of the world, and Nora means that Hashem directs everything with awesome power. Yirmiyahu saw the Bavlim enter Hashem's home and felt he couldn't describe Hashem as Nora, awesome, anymore. Daniel saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and could not describe Hashem as Gibor, strong. Both Yirmiyahu and Daniel still believed in Hashem, and they believed that Hashem was all-powerful, but they limited his praise. Hashem is all-perfect and all-powerful, so we can never praise him enough. Whatever we say minimizes how great Hashem is, because our praise limits Hashem to the words that we are able to express. In order not to insult Hashem, we can only use words to describe Hashem that reflect how we experience Hashem in this world. This perception of Hashem in the world is often called the name, the shame of Hashem. We still live in Galus, like Yirmiyahu and Daniel. Yet, we say the full phrase, Gadol Gibor Vinora, in our Shemoneh Esrei. The Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the men of the Great Assembly, saw the Galus and also lived through the subsequent Geula. They recognized that though Hashem's awesomeness and strength was different during the Galus, it was still there. They recognized that it is a sign of strength that Hashem allows the Galus process to take place and doesn't intervene even though we, his children, suffer. Hashem created Galus not but because he is weak, but because he is strong and wants the ultimate good for us. As we say the Shemoneh Esrei, we can focus on these words and remind ourselves that the process of Galus has a goal that is for our own good. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.